Please turn now in your copy of God's Word to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. And we'll start our reading at verse 1. Before we read our text this morning, it's clear and common that we have all faced big life decisions. These life decisions can happen in the context of our career, of how we commit to the local church, or many other spheres of our lives. And after these kind of decisions, our lives are never the same. The considerations surrounding these decisions are painstaking. And if this looks like anything like my home does, when this decision comes, you have a list of pros and cons, and you are always seeking counsel from those you respect, and ideally, you take those decisions to the Lord. Two of my dear friends earlier this year were searching for a new home, and it seemed like every time we were together, they had another five houses that made the list. And you looked at the comps, they call them, the comparisons. And they're looking at similar homes, and how close do you want to live to your in-laws is often a question that came to their minds. How does this purchase compare to my commute to work or my drive to my home church? And how many bedrooms for the growing family do we need? My friends have had these decisions in front of them. You all know in this place what it means to have families transition to new seasons of life, as I think of the Matthews and the Mistresses, transitioning to a new place, to a new home. And the simple question and the decision that's driving these considerations is where do we make our home? And with whom do we make our home? I'm thankful, as Jeff said earlier, I am married to Mim. And one of the sweetest things that she ever says to me is that I'm glad to always be going home with you. That she knows where she belongs. She knows her identity as my spouse. So how we answer that question of where do we make our home is tied to our identity. And in our text from the book of Hebrews, we jump in and we hear this author preacher speaking to a group of ethnically Jewish Christians who are in the throes of this monumental decision. Because this audience, this group of people, is torn between following and trusting Christ and going back to the old ways of Judaism. They often find themselves pulled back to what is familiar and what is safe in the face of persecution. So the question that this author preacher needs for his hearers to answer is, where will you make your spiritual home? Will it be in the safety and comfort, felt comfort of Judaism, or will it be with Christ where suffering is promised? And so as we enter the book of Hebrews, we see it as a sustained plea for these Jews to not give up on Christ and to instead commit to Him in the face of hardship. And we're invited with the original audience to make our spiritual home with Christ. So let's follow the advice and the command of this writer and consider Jesus, because it's only through knowing Him that we can endure hardship. So please pray with me as we anticipate hearing God's Word. Our Father and our God, we come to You needing Your help. We come to You thankful that in Your Word You speak. And we pray that as Your servants here this evening, we would listen, that we would tune our ears to the Word before us and to the guiding of Your Holy Spirit, that You would humble us in our sin, that You would exalt us in our Savior Jesus Christ, and that You would drive us towards greater obedience and love for Him. And we pray in His name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. This is God's holy word. May he add its truth to our hearts. So we begin this evening, we take up the first two verses of our text, and when we do what the author has invited us to do, and we consider Jesus, particularly in his work. Consider the work of Jesus. Now, as we enter into chapter 3, we need to remember what's come before and the simple theme that Christ is better, that Christ is supreme in his person and supreme as he himself is the final revelation from God. Christ is truly sufficient and we need nothing else beside him. For he suffers to make us brothers. He can help us endure trials because he endured suffering for us. Christ's suffering gives hope for our suffering because he is a sympathizing Savior. So in verse 1, we see that we are set aside as holy brothers called to a heavenly calling. We're told about our identity and we're told about our future because we are called by God as part of his family to consider our Savior. And in this first verse, we are commanded. This is the central command from which everything comes. We're commanded to consider Jesus. And this command to consider Christ has often been translated to fix your eyes or to fix your mind on Christ. To think down deep about him in such a way that it moves from your head into your heart and out through your hands. And these thoughts are not fleeting, but they are consistent as we consider him all the way down to our spiritual toes. Considering Jesus is the cornerstone of spiritual life, fellowship with our triune God. And it is the most practical, real-life thing that we can do. And considering Jesus doesn't need to be sugar-coated or soft-pedaled for us to be helped. You notice the author here leads with this command to consider Jesus because going deeper into understanding and loving Jesus Christ is what this pastor and soul doctor prescribes in our text. Because that is what the suffering believer needs. It matters what we do with our knowledge in the heat and pressure of our suffering. See Pastor Jeff's sermon this morning. This doctor offers unique medicine to his hearers. And what we receive in this text is a unique formulation in the whole of Scripture as it brings two central themes together, claiming that Christ is the apostle and high priest of our confession. These two substantial biblical themes come together and form the confession that we can stake our spiritual life on, because Christ is both the sent one of God, sent to bring and to be revelation from God. He is also our high priest who brings us to God, interceding for us, praying for us, pleading his blood, offering the sacrifice of himself to make us a family of God with him. In this small phrase, the author invites us to see Christ as the prophet like Moses that we must listen to. And He is the one who can finally bring us to God through His blood. Understanding that Christ is God revealed, and the one who brings us to God through His blood gives us hope in suffering. God knows you, and He speaks to you, and you are covered in Him. And that gives us strength in the midst of our suffering, knowing that He offered Himself for us. In verse 2, we see the extension of this work of Christ in that He was faithful in the task appointed to Him. And this distinction comes with a comparison. And this comes with a comparison with a figure that we are familiar with now and that the hearers would have been familiar with then. A figure whom the Jews placed in highest regard. Our author considers both Moses and Jesus to be faithful to their work. This is the parallel between the two. Moses obeyed God and for God's people, Israel. And he was faithful in all God's house. We read Numbers 12 earlier, and we see that Moses had a privileged intimacy with God. He spoke with God face to face or mouth to mouth. Not like any other prophet, but Moses was unique in how God communicated intimately with him. And this is a shocking comparison if you are an ethnic Jew to have Christ put up against Moses. Moses being immensely revered in Jewish culture, it's as if you were going to the heart of Boston and comparing Tom Brady with anybody else. This is shocking, and it's going to elicit a response. But we see that as Jesus is compared to Moses, we see that His work is so much more. That He's faithful as revelation of God to His people. And He is the one who embodies the work of atonement, of forgiveness of sin, which is exactly the task He was given by the Father. Christ and Moses serve in similar ways as they are both faithful to the tasks given to them. Moses pointing forward and Christ being the substance, the goal of revelation. And they both serve the house of God, God's very people. And you and I are the house of God that has been established by the work of Christ. So consider Jesus. In verses 3 through the beginning of verse 6, we're not left considering the work of Jesus. We're left going further and considering the worth of Jesus. Because as we see this comparison between Jesus and Moses, it becomes clear that Jesus is counted worthy of more glory than Moses. There is a simple and monumental difference between Moses and Christ. Moses leads the people of God as part of God's people. And Christ is the means by which the very house was built. God's people come into existence looking forward to Jesus in faith or looking back on Jesus by faith. We see this simple aside that a builder is worth more thanks than the house itself. And this is absolutely plain to us in our text because no one at any time has thanked a house for building itself. Seeing a house identifies a builder, and the builder of all things is God. And in 5 and 6, we see this parallel strengthening between Moses and Jesus, but we see the comparison, the similarities giving way to contrast. And we return to that burning question for anyone that's in this original community and anyone that's here this evening. Where will you make your spiritual home? For the hearers, the decision is between Judaism or Christ. We see that Moses was faithful as a servant in God's house. And he was a servant not resistingly or as an unwilling slave, but instead as a willing and committed servant, pointing forward to what would come, to testify to Christ. Moses serves faithfully in the house, but it becomes clear that Jesus is radically different. Jesus is faithful as a son over God's house. Moses obeys God and serves God's people, but Christ is God and owns God's people. I want you to notice the continuity of this house. That all of Moses' work of intercession and proclamation is made complete in the ministry of Christ. Moses would rejoice to see the one to whom he was pointing, to see the work of his hands established forever in Christ. You see this glimpse on the Mount of Transfiguration when Moses and Elijah come to meet Christ as they themselves embody the law and the prophets, and we don't hear the conversation. It's one of the frustrating omissions, you could say. We don't know what was said. But we know that Elijah and Moses being there are endorsing the ministry of deliverance that belongs to Christ. It is one house that Moses serves, and it is one house that Christ rules over. And yet Christ is worth far more glory because He has done so much more for us. He is the final revelation of God, and through Him we come to our Heavenly Father. But we can come because He laid His life down for us so that we could be part of this single household of faith, drawn together from every tribe, tongue, and nation. Jesus is the high priest who brings us to God through the offering of Himself. And this is something that Moses could never do. And Jesus is the greater Moses in such a way that even that is insufficient to say. Because what Christ has done for you and me in revealing God to us and offering us to God through His sacrifice is unmatched. And Christ deserves all the glory and the praise, and He deserves our lives to be turned in whole service of Him. So as you consider Jesus, how do you find Him? If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, you've been considering Jesus for weeks or decades, but He seems distant to you. He seems unimportant, or in the past, you think that you've seen Him let you down. You might have tried Him on for a time, but it just doesn't click. He died so long ago. How can it affect me as I face my own suffering? But I want to say to you tonight that He, Christ, doesn't promise no suffering for you, but He promises strength through your suffering. And He shows us His love. And if you're apart from Christ, He shows you His love, and that He offers Himself to anyone who would call on His name. Christ desires to make His home with you. So please pray that God would change your heart to believe in Christ's work and worth. His death is for you, and His resurrected life is yours if you believe in Him. So come to Christ in faith. And if you come in faith, He will never drive you away. Confess that you're a sinner and you need saving. But if you are a believer here this evening and you've been considering Christ, and you've been considering Him deeply for years and decades or weeks, consider again that Christ is your Savior. You might say that His work and His worth sound abstract, And I have faith, but I feel like I'm just scraping by and not thriving. I'm not truly delighting in life in Christ. But I want to say to you what I know has been said to you over and over again. Don't look into yourself for strength, but look to Christ, because He is your life. He has indeed appeared, and now you are filled with His Holy Spirit. So don't look in, but look up to Him. And these abstractions become concrete when we see where this passage ends. Because as you consider the work and the worth of Christ, let Him drive your witness. As we move into the last part of verse 6, we see something surprising. We expect a plain command or a simple encouragement. Instead, we hear one of the challenges that are threaded through the book of Hebrews. And this warning comes by way of an emphatic conditional statement. We are His house if indeed we hold fast. And on its surface, this may distress us. It may cause us to believe that our salvation rests in how hard we can pull on our own spiritual bootstraps. Instead, we must understand the heart of this author-preacher as he challenges his audience out of love for their souls. The question, am I a Christian, is not the best question. Especially for this author, he asked, does my life evidence a life in Christ? Does my life look like the life of a Christian? In the face of testing and trial, the question of faith becomes irrelevant if that faith is not evidenced in our clinging to Christ. One theologian says that continuance in the Christian life is the test of its reality. Our holding fast is rooted not within ourselves, but in the confidence we gain in considering Christ. When we dive deep into His work and worth, we are compelled to hold fast with heart, eyes, and grip of faith that looks forward to what is unseen in hope. So brothers and sisters, are you holding fast? Are you a member of the house of God? Do we live as if Christ is truly the Son over each of us and all of us? And having considered our confession that Christ is our apostle and high priest, we can take courage and speak freely and boldly of our Savior. Even more fundamentally, now that we have considered Jesus, our life should display our love. Because holding fast with our life is a testimony that is shocking to this world. Clinging to Christ amidst suffering is what this world needs to see in us. Show them something that they don't have, but that they desperately need. Hope. Because brothers and sisters, demonstration of faith is as essential as proclamation of faith. Can you hear one apart from Christ asking, if Jesus is their hope, maybe He can be mine too? So many people have let me down, but this person keeps talking about the strength of Jesus. And I know what they've suffered. People wonder if He could be their hope as well. And we all know people who suffer outside of Christ, and it breaks our hearts. We know the unbeliever that stares down cancer with no access to comfort in the gospel. We know what it's like when family members lose loved ones and look to us confused when we talk of the peace afforded to us in the gospel. But when their heart breaks and they have seen you suffer, that is an opportunity to point them to Christ and to His church. So brothers and sisters, we have a daily weighty decision to cling to Christ or flee to anything else. any other fleeting, futile, feeble idol that will only let you down. May God give those resistant to Him no rest until they rest in Jesus Christ. May we be warm and loving to those who don't know Jesus and be an example of the life that follows Christ. Appropriating the precious truths of Christ found in the gospel in the midst of our suffering drives our proclamation of Him. Christ alone is our confidence, our boast, and our hope. And may we never lose sight of Him as we hold fast. Jesus has come to save in His work. He is worth it. So put His name on your lips, not in vain, but with purpose, as you call the lost to Christ and as you encourage your brothers and sisters. People of God, a better reality than what Moses knew is present here in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, found in the gospel. And a better future than we know now is coming in the return of Christ, when He ushers in the new heavens and the new earth. So be ready by living a life of faith and holding fast while you wait. Holding fast to your Savior. Because this author and the author of the Holy Spirit who speaks to us is concerned for the wandering of His people. And may we never dishonor Christ by falling away from the faith. Instead, may we cling to Christ and declare His worth and His work to a watching world. So brothers and sisters, make your home with Christ. Consider Him and find Him faithful. Give thanks for Him, live for Him, and speak of Him, and model a life of faith that rests in Him. God has built us into His own people, and may He continue to add to His household of faith through our wonderful Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, You have given us Christ Himself. Give us more and more grace that we will consider Him, and in considering Him, find life. Life that is stronger than our suffering because it is eternal. Life that is rooted in the work and the worth of Jesus Christ. We thank You for Him, and we pray in His name and by the power of His Holy Spirit. Amen.